I want to welcome everyone to our monthly membership network call. This is the first call of 2017. For those of you that are new to the Campaign for Black Male Achievement and the network, I want to welcome you. And if you don't know, just a brief blurb of our history. We were launched in 2008 as an initiative of the Open Society Foundations, and we were originally supposed to be a three-year campaign, but with much grit, vision, and ingenuity, we were able to extend that term limit and then negotiate with the foundation to launch into an independent entity. We're a national membership that seeks to ensure the growth, sustainability, and impact of leaders and organizations committed to improving the life outcomes of black men and boys across the country. We like to say that we invest in the hometown heroes and local leaders that are advancing this work. And while black men and boys are the point of departure, narrow angle lens of our work, our wide angle lens is certainly a community building systems change approach, which is inclusive of everyone. We're a national membership. We got about 5,000 individual members and 3,000 organizational members, and we focus our work around capacity building, network building, strategic communications, and we're in about five cities where we are going deeper, understanding that this is a national movement, but the work happens locally. This is actually, while this is the first call of the year, this is the last CMA network call with President Barack Obama in the White House. You know, for us in the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, you know, this spring will mark 9 years since the campaign was started. In so many ways, the launch of Campaign for Black Male Achievement coincided with the president coming into office in 2008. If you haven't had a chance to view our history of a CBMA video, I'm going to invite you to personally email me at fdove@blackmaleachievement.org, and I will send you a link of our ethos video. And Jen and I was just sharing before the call, I told her I had to kind of admit that, you know, I've been, you know, keeping a optimistic, stiff upper lip with the change of administration, realizing that, look, the battle for racial and social justice continues, and it would have continued no matter what the decision was back on November 8th. But I am sure that everyone on this call will agree that the battle and the fight is certainly different than what we would have expected if we had someone else being sworn in to tomorrow for the fight that we're in. And, you know, so, you know, just in the spirit of CBMA, I want to just thank everyone on this line who's not on the line. We have a tradition at the organization called CBMA Thank You Thursdays. We're really intentional about thanking folks in our network. And so I want to thank you all who have joined for your commitment and your courageous, compassionate leadership. And I would just say that, you know, we all have to be more focused, intentional, and tenacious around our respective missions. And before I pass it on to Janet Dickerson, who is CBMA Senior Strategic Communications Consultant. You know, I just want to acknowledge that on Monday, CBMA celebrated its second year as an independent entity. We spun off from the Open Society Foundations on Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 2015. And I just wanted just to, before I pass on to Janet, share a word from Dr. King, from where do we go from here, very fruitful question, and the options he presented was community or chaos. And in there he said, today, and this was 50 years ago, the last book he published before his assassination, this book came out in 1967, he said, today our very survival depends on our ability to stay awake. Some of us want to translate that to stay woke if we want, but he says our very survival depends on our ability to stay awake, to adjust to new ideas, to remain vigilant, and to face the challenge of change. And we invite you to join us in facing and being victorious in that challenge. And so, Janet, I know I went a little bit over than my typical few words. I wanted to pass it on to you to take us through the call. Thanks.
Thank you, Sean. And hello, everybody. Happy New Year. I know the last time we spoke was just before the holidays, so hopefully everybody had a nice break, an opportunity to recharge, rejuvenate, and become re-inspired for the work that's ahead of us. Again, as Sean mentioned, my name is Janet Dickerson. I'm the Senior Communications Consultant for the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. And please excuse me if my voice is a little hoarse. I'm battling a cold, but I am right where I should be today with you all. As Sean mentioned, Monday marked the second anniversary of CBMA's spinoff. And so for 2 years, we've seen a lot of growth in our organization and our mission in the field and the movement. And last year, we marked the first anniversary by co-hosting with Blackout for Human Rights a phenomenal program called MLK Now, which is a program that really honors the legacy and the words of Dr. King by having actors and performers recite famous speeches, not only from Dr. King, but from other revolutionary heroes in civil rights, in literature, in politics, in movement building, a variety of areas. And so it was a phenomenal success, and because of that, we were asked to put it on again this year. And so on Monday, we all reconvened at Riverside Church to put on MLK Now 2017, which in many ways was even more poignant this year than it was last year, right, because it happened in the week where we are saying goodbye to President Obama and when we are getting ready for the incoming administration. And so I'm excited and happy to have joining us today two people that were key in that program, the first of which is Pastor Michael McBride, who's the National Director of PICO National Network in the Bay Area, and who was also a co-producer on this year's event. And then we also have my sister FM Supreme, an international performing poet, artist, activist, and educator, who in addition to being on the panel discussion that we held this year, gave an incredible performance that if you all were not able to tune in, I highly recommend that you do. And the live stream is still available, so we'll make sure that gets circulated to you all. But for now, I want to welcome Pastor McBride and FM Supreme. Are you both on?
Yes, I'm on. It's FM.
Great.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, good morning, Pastor McBride. I know that you're on the West Coast. So, Pastor, since you were a key part of the planning team this year as well as last year, and you've seen how MLK Now has really evolved from this creative idea into this space for coming together in unity and in community and in strategy especially, can you share some of your reflections from Monday? What were some highlights for you that stood out?
Yes, well, it's great to be on the call with everyone, and great love and support of CBMA and you know, all the love of the comrades that, you know, sustain the work here. So very thankful for your work, and continue to look towards the future with your leadership, certainly at the forefront of our next steps. As it relates to MLK Now, I think for many of us in the Blackout family, we have been feeling the call and inspiration to use our platforms, our relationships with influencers, and our knowledge of, you know, the moments and times we live in to really cultivate and catalyze the masses of people that we can influence with a elevated consciousness, and hopefully help politicize their thought process and their own engagement issues related to the ongoing liberation of Black people and other poor and marginalized folks in our country. We certainly felt that doing MLK Now this year was a necessary task because of the outcome of the election and our expected kind of thinking and thoughts of what a Trump administration would mean for our people, knowing that many folks felt very deflated, if not thrown into a state of despair after the outcome of the election. And we felt that MLK Now could provide another shot in people's arm, particularly since Dr. King's birthday was kicking off the week of inauguration in Washington, D.C. So last year when we, you know, all collectively launched this with the, you know, kind of fearless leadership and help of Ryan Coogler and Ava De La Haye and others, we thought that this would be another opportunity for us to gather folks one more time and give people an opportunity to see and to imagine and to understand what are some of the voices, not only Dr. Martin Luther King, but, you know, very prominent women, gay and even contemporary, you know, freedom fighter voices to help us maybe have a compass for how we can move forward. And I think, you know, as I walked through the auditorium, you know, here and there, we were stopped by, I'd say, dozens of people, some with tears in their eyes, others with, you know, kind of, you know, bursting joy, some with the steel determination saying that, you know, this was what they needed to help them be able to push and continue and even start the healing that some of them felt given what we feel is impending with the Trump administration and some of our just daily realities living in urban neighborhoods. Many of those folks are from New York, but there were folks as far as Hartford, Connecticut, Boston. Some people came in from Philly I met. So I found it to be a very important opportunity for us, again, to educate the masses in as much as we can. And honestly, you know, there was, I think, a great consciousness raising by many of the celebrities we engaged. Michelle Williams sent me a long message saying that she learned so much being there, that she hadn't heard many of the thoughts that were read. Even the piece she read, she felt was something that changed her life. Olivia Wilde said something pretty similar to me. Erica Campbell, I got a chance to, you know, hang out a little bit with Brother Holland as well, and all of them, I think, found the space to be extremely catalyzing for them. So I think whether it is the influencers we engaged, whether it certainly was those in the audience and watching on the stream, I think it's the kind of engagement we need at this moment, one that is lifting up the radical message of inclusivity and resistance that we draw from the history of our people, so we don't feel like we have to make it up as we go along, that we can just continue to flow in that spirit that has produced us. And that wisdom, I believe, is in our genes and in our bones, and to the extent that we can continue to use the platform that we help create and then replicate things similarly on a local level, I think MLK Now continues to demonstrate that there are many, many people who are looking and hoping for opportunities to get together to heal, but also be inspired and be released back home to do liberative work. So very honored to be able to participate in, you know, the ways that we did and the partnership with CBMA and Sankofa and PICO and Blackout and many, many others, I think is something that is instructive for how we may need to continue to partner moving forward.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, I mean, one thing that is for sure is that, you know, MLK Now certainly represents the marriage of art and activism, and we're seeing in this moment that a lot of artists are either being inspired to or in some ways pushed to be more political in their work and to be more intentional about speaking out about certain issues. And FM, that's certainly, you know, that intersection of art and activism is essentially where you live, right? Because you're a poet, you're an educator, you're an artist, you're an activist. So what was it like for you being at MLK Now this year, especially you played a dual role. You performed and you got a chance to speak on the panel. So just would really love to hear your reflections, especially since you were also involved last year. Was there anything different that you felt this year versus last year?
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for having me. That's a great question, Janet. First of all, I just was very, very humbled and honored to be a part of the program, to attend the program. I actually wasn't a part of it last year. Last year, around this time, I had just arrived back home to the States from Singapore, where I had studied abroad for 4 months. I was finishing up my undergraduate degree, studying public policy and global affairs. And so I was watching everything that was happening nationally, like from 10,000 miles away or so. And so I came back home then I went to Nigeria for 2 weeks. And so around this time last year, when MLK Now was happening, I was battling depression and reverse culture shock. I was so numb and confused about, like, God, you show me all these countries. I'm just this young black woman from the west side of Chicago, and I've seen all these things, but now what? You've given me a calling to speak peace, but there is no peace. So I was very confused at this time, and so glory to God for everything. It was just an honor to be there. I just really thank Pastor Mike McBride. I thank Rashid Shabazz, Sean Dove. I really want to lift up Rashid. I remember, you know, the beginning of Campaign for Black Male Achievement with Open Society Foundation. In fact, in 2009, I was talent manager at a youth organization called Young Chicago Authors back home in Chicago, and I got a call from the Soros Foundation where they were requesting some youth poets for their national conference where they gather all of their campaigns or, like, programs in different cities each year. And so apparently this was the criminal justice department had reached out, and I had sent them a roster of youth poets and youth poets, and I've always, I guess, had activism in my work. And they eventually ended up requesting myself under the name FM Supreme and my sister Deja Taylor. And so they booked us to perform at this thing, and we didn't know who Soros was. We had never heard of Open Society Foundation or the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. We just had no idea. We just, like, these young poet, rappers, artists, whatever. And so we speak on the panel in 2009, and at the end of it, different people come up to us, and Rashid Shabazz comes up, and he's like, hey, how's it going? That was, you know, really amazing. Would you guys be interested in, like, you know, performing? We're, you know, launching this, and I had no idea what he was talking about, but, you know, long story short, we went, and I just want to thank Rashid for being a visionary. You know, I've been a part of the CBMA family since 2009, and, you know, been blessed to be a part of so many different events with the campaign. But MLK Now was so special because of that collaborative piece, you know, with PICO, with Sankofa, with Blackout. It was just powerful. You know, that poem that I presented, I actually wasn't scheduled to perform at the event. I was scheduled to speak, but the moment, you know, Pastor Mike had reached out to me and Rashid had reached out to me about the event itself when I was in Chicago, God showed me a vision of me speaking this poem with a dancer interpreting it. And so when I, you know, arrived, I talked to Pastor Mike and she, they're like, well, I'm like, I'm performing, right? And they're like, you know, no, like, you're supposed to be speaking. I'm like, and I tell Pastor Mike, I said, the Holy Spirit has put it up, I have to deliver this piece, and I already have a dancer from Alvin Ailey on his way. And so I just thank Pastor Mike for being humble and obedient and listening to the Spirit of the Lord, because he could have even said, no, we don't have room for that. And but you told me your gifts made room for you, and you just, it was without hesitation. So I'm just humbled and honored. I just thank God for the opportunity. And, you know, the harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. I think that, you know, it's very unfortunate that Donald Trump is being inaugurated on tomorrow. It's actually unbelievable. And but it's reality. I was born in 1988. And if history serves me correct, as I go back in history, Nixon was a Reagan. Reagan was the president. And so I believe that I was born for a time such as this. I believe this, it's like our time is now. We are all, everyone on this call, everyone not on this call, everyone part of this movement for Black Lives, we are who our ancestors have been waiting for. And, you know, this is the time to really do get in, do the work. And the work really starts with where you are. Your community, and our sister Ife was saying on the panel about family. If you have not even right with your family, how are you going to try to help your community? You got to get your house in order. This is war, you know. And so I just, you know, I'm very inspired by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I've accepted the calling to speak that gospel, you know, Black Liberation Theology style. I just want to lift up all the other panelists who, you know, taught me so much, Yasmeen Sutton, Dante Berry, Sister Jamila, Sister Ife, my Nigerian sister. And, you know, I'll close with saying this. Dr. King said that there comes a time when silence is betrayal. And, you know, I think that the part of the reason why speaking more publicly now, like after Singapore, like I literally battled depression from January through June. January through July. It was until Megyn Kelly, I had to kind of force myself out of this this numbness that I was experiencing, this lack of vision, because I had hundreds and thousands of white folks calling me a stupid nigger bitch on every social media platform and sending me death threats through emails. And so when the black poem, co-wrote that poem, my brother Caleb Taylor and I, we were with Reverend Wright, Jeremiah Wright, and Ivor Carruthers in Trinidad in July. We went in July, but we wrote the poem August 3rd, and, you know, I was healing from all the wounds. I had never, ever been attacked like that or drugged to the media like that. In fact, I didn't even plan on saying we need to abolish the police. That just came out my mouth, and I just had to keep going because I wasn't going to turn down with all these people in this room against me. And so I believe the Holy Spirit placed that upon me, and God has been covering me. What the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good, according to Genesis 50:22, like the story of Joseph when he sold into slavery. And, you know, but overall, I just am blessed. And Caleb and I were walking into it was Emancipation Day in Trinidad. We happened to be there during Emancipation Day. We were there for the Transatlantic Roundtable on Religion and Race. We were there with Samuel DeWitt Proctor Conference. And, you know, all the elders, Caleb and I were the youngest young adults on the delegation. And so we kind of split off and did our own thing. And as we're walking into Emancipation Day, we're seeing black folks from all across the diaspora in so many amazing kente, colorful garbs. It was so inspiring. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, Caleb, I'm like, this is that love my neighbor as I love myself black. He's like, this is that all Black Lives Matter black. And we literally start going back and forth where we just like, you know, we need to write this down. And we waited a day, and then I was scheduled to present and perform at the Transatlantic Roundtable. And I was like, I want to do that. I was like, let's write it down. And so we met in my hotel room, and we prayed before we did it, and we just started off with that, you know, let's go from the beginning. And God just started giving us the words. It was like literally, it was so Holy Spirit led that we didn't know what was coming next as we were writing it down in my iPhone. This, that,
and
like,
that's what
and
you wound up performing. That's the poem you wound up performing.
Yes, this
well,
is the poem.
And what I, like I said before, I mean, it was such a powerful, powerful poem, and it brought everybody in that sanctuary to their feet. And so for those of you that are not on the call, we want to make sure that we share this video with you all so that you can experience it, because obviously, FM, it was divine purpose that this poem came to you and that you were at this event. And I apologize for having misspoken that you were not there last year.
Oh, it's all love.
That's
I was there in spirit. I was watching.
Of your spirit. Exactly. Exactly. So I just want, in sort of closing this out, I just wanted to, you know, Rashid, when he was opening up the program at the very beginning, he mentioned that after the election, he was talking to folks, and a lot of folks seemed to express that the only time that they did not feel in despair, as you mentioned, Pastor Mike, is when they were with other people, when they were in shared company, when they felt like they were in community with others, and when they were able to be in these safe spaces. And so as sort of parting words, as, you know, we are on the eve of the inauguration, starting with you, Pastor Mike, do you have any parting words for those of us on the call who may be feeling despair, who may be feeling anxiety? You know, how can we try to override that in this moment and continue to keep hope and faith that, you know, will help us to keep going?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the words of Dr. King, you know, continue to be very instructive for me. I'll just leave you with this quote as hopefully a continued compass. Dr. King says, "The end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opposers into friends. It is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. It is the love of God working in the lives of people. This is the love that may well be the salvation of our civilization." And so I will say to us, you know, the kind of despair and at times anger and fear that are natural emotions given the realities we have to wake up to every day as Elaine Brown calls us, lost Africans in the United States of America. May we also allow the love that is also a gift to us be the power that overwhelms and surpasses the anger, fear, pain, and anxiety that this current moment is creating in all of us. And may we continue to realize that we are the best that our ancestors have produced, and that we have been created for this moment, and we must love one another. We must take good care of ourselves, and I do believe it is in our solidarity and our togetherness and in our faith and in our commitment to justice and fairness and inclusion that we can and we will not only outlast this Trump season, but every other opposer of justice in our people. I think we will indeed outlast them. So please be encouraged. Please don't be given to despair. Let's keep trusting God, trusting our ancestors, trusting the gifts that have brought us to this moment.
Powerful. Thank you, Pastor. And FM, do you have any parting words?
Absolutely. I agree with Pastor Mike. I just want to say that everybody be encouraged. In fact, like, God has just given me so much new art, so much new inspiration. It's like bursting. And so I'm coming up, I'm actually finishing up my music project called Jenny's Little Sister, which is a music soundtrack for a film that I'm doing. We were producing a documentary called Reimagining Peace. And so it's actually very inspirational. I mean, it's really just a lot going on. And so the poem that I performed at MLK Now, Black, is actually the intro to the project, and we just created a crowd rise, so we're doing some we're raising money online, so if you guys want to donate $5, $10, $20, everything counts, everything can help, and I really do believe that God has given me some type of this artistic, spiritual transformation to share with his children, my brothers and sisters, and people in the world to keep us motivated and move and to focus and move forward and push, because we got to push. This is not the time to fall back. It's not. It's time to go forward. All right, that's all I got to say. Thank y'all. God bless.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor McBride and FM. We appreciate you for MLK Now and just for every way that you all continue to be a presence of leadership and hope. So we appreciate and love you. And so I think it's moving on. I mean, January is not just inauguration month, but it's also National Mentoring Month. And I think in many ways that's important because as we talk about, you know, where do we go from here, as we talk about people needing to be in community with one another, I think mentorship is going to become even more important in this moment because there are going to be many people who don't know what the next step is and looking for guidance and looking for shoulders to lean on. And so joining us to talk a little bit about National Mentoring Month is Stephen Powell, who is the Chief Program Officer of the National CARES Mentoring Movement. Now, CARES is today the recognized national leader in the recruitment, training, and engagement of black mentors. And they have 58 U.S. cities recruiting CARE volunteers and connecting them to where they are urgently needed. And again, I think they are urgently needed even now than ever before, perhaps. So we'd like to welcome Stephen. Stephen, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for that wonderful intro. And I just want to say peace and blessings to everyone who can hear my voice. As Janet mentioned, this is National Mentoring Month. It's certainly an opportunity for us to greatly position ourselves because what we recognize in so many underserved communities is that it's not that people are unwilling. Sometimes people need an assignment. And so we want to make sure that we're readily available to provide that in the form of mentoring and specifically group mentoring. I want to specifically thank the campaign for the platform to share today. And if you don't know, one of the key dates in National Mentoring Month is National Thank Your Mentor Day, and today is National Thank Your Mentor Day. So to the CBMA team who has worked vigilantly to mentor community and build community, to all of the soldiers of love and the community healers and crusaders that are out there transforming community through mentoring, I just want to thank you and make sure that you remain encouraged. Thank FM and Pastor Mike brilliantly shared a lot of mission fuel that I think that we all should take in as we are in these trying times. But, you know, knowing that we're all spiritually aligned, I know that we're built for this work. There are a few dates in the month that we took advantage of. If you don't know, National Mentoring Month is a month to really honor parents, family, teachers, coaches, mentors, all of those who are pouring their love into children and inspiring them and just really trying to fill that access gap in many communities around the country. The theme of the month, as indicated by the National Mentoring Partnership, is Mentor in Real Life. And the top of the month, we took the opportunity We seized the opportunity through an invitation from CBS-FM Radio in New York to share our work across three of their stations, 102.7, 101.9, and then throughout the CBS-FM Sports Network. It's not your traditional urban radio station, but I think a part of the work that we're trying to do in the healing work is we have to make sure that we're working intensely to shift the consciousness of those across the race as we're in this time and space. I Am a Mentor Day was on January the 12th. We harnessed the opportunity to leverage celebrities and other notables around the country to just really share why mentoring is so important to them and to inspire. And then going into the MLK Weekend of Service, we really charged our faith communities around the country to host either a Justice Sunday or Justice Saturday service or a Mentor Sunday or Mentor Saturday service. And the focal point there was to really have some of those uncomfortable and necessary conversations around social justice, but also leverage it as an opportunity to recruit mentors to adopt schools in their local areas. We had a couple of partners who seized the opportunity to utilize the film Hidden Fences as a platform to really talk about the microaggressions and working through how we transform society and what does it mean when we marginalize some of the best and brightest when we're trying to achieve a common goal, as we saw in the movie. So that was one of the things that I just want to lift up to CBMA for what they did with MLK Now brilliantly again. And then one of the things that we're also doing as we're moving towards the end of the month Today is National Thank Your Mentor Day, and we find creative ways to leverage some of our national partners through their local affiliates. And, for example, the Jack and Jill chapter in North Jersey, which is really dedicated to servicing and supporting and sponsoring our Greater Newark Cares affiliate, they are all hands on deck with their students, with the youth in the program, the mothers, and then the father's auxiliary to really find out ways where they can lend their support, whether it be working with the boys to help them tie ties. The chapter as a whole has designated Greater Newark Cares as the beneficiary of their May gala. So, you know, as we're talking about these trying times, and we'll see that throughout the foundation world, we want to make sure that people are very intentional about cooperative economics to sustain the work that we're doing. I want to lift up Brother David Miller, who is hosting a Twitter chat on group mentoring on the 24th of the month. And then to close out the month, we are bringing in our 58 affiliates from around the country into New York City to host a capacity building summit from the 27th until the 29th. And then on the 30th, we close out the month in grand style with our second annual For the Love of Our Children annual gala. And this year's theme is to highlight the accomplishments of black men. And the three honorees this year are Russell Simmons, the CEO of Rush Philanthropic, and, you know, he's the co-founder of Def Jam, Lonnie Bunch, who is the CEO of the African American History and Culture Museum, and then a friend to CBMA, Charles D. King, who is the producer of Senses. We've been very blessed to have Cameron Hall and Michael Eric Dyson come back to support us as co-hosts. But, you know, it's also a brilliant display for us of just intergenerational brilliance. We have an opportunity to utilize our young voices from around the country in Chicago and South Florida, who are in communities that are very challenged, and you know, poverty is, you know, everywhere you look there's poverty, everywhere you look there's violence, but there's still the bright and shining stars in those communities. And then we also have another opportunity to leverage an intergenerational display of talent, as indicated by the participation of people like Cicely Tyson, who is an Academy Award nominee and Golden Globe nominee, and then my beloved dear friend, Renee Elise Goldberry, who won a Tony Award for her role in Hamilton. And so these are some of the things that we are doing to lift up the month in grand fashion, and I just would encourage each and every one of you today, if you can, to just reach out to that mentor, that person who inspired you to be where you are. You know, mentoring doesn't always come in the form of, you know, a program. You know, it could be a coach, it could be a minister, it could be someone in your job, but definitely give them a shout-out on today. And then just in closing, echoing FM Supreme and Pastor Mike, you know, this is really a time where we have to drill down on the community healing work. The country is very divided, and when we are interfacing with people, we don't know on what spectrum they fall. And just be clear about that. There are some people who are very happy about what happened in Washington. There are some people who are indifferent, and then there are some people who are very scared. But, you know, as Pastor Mike shared, you know, this is where people of faith have to really rise up and be very vigilant in this work. And I just have to say one more time that, you know, there's an inside-outside game in this. You know, there are going to be some of us who are going to move in silence. There are going to be some that are going to be the bullhorns, you know, some that are going to turn the temperature and some that are going to share what the temperature is. So know that there's a role for everyone, and we have to do this in solidarity. And most importantly, when we're looking at our the way that we spend every month is a direct reflection of our priorities. So what I would charge, since this is January, when you look at your monthly budget and you're, you know, you're servicing those businesses, ask yourself, am I executing cooperative economics when I do that? Because these are the ways that we're going to be able to sustain our community in these trying times. So thank you so much, team, for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Stephen. And I think what you said a few seconds ago about, you know, essentially everybody has a role that they can play, and I think mentorship is key to that as well. So, you know, if you know people who are trying to figure out what they can do in their capacity, whether it's writing, whether it's art, whether it's organizing, or, you know, or whether it's just, you know, getting a group of people together just to talk and vent. I mean, you know, everybody has a role to play, right? So thank you, Stephen, and I certainly encourage everybody to go to caresmentoring.org, which is National Cares Mentoring Movement's website. Find out how you can either locate mentorship opportunities in your area, how you can possibly start up your own mentorship opportunity for others, but the caresmentoring.org site is a very valuable resource. So thank you again, Stephen.
No problem. You know, before I sign off, I do want to make sure that I do thank CBMA for being a sponsor for the second year in a row for our gala. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you. And so next up, we are actually going to give an update on our bold goal process. So for the better part of 2016, CBMA has been going through a rigorous process to define what our bold goal is. And for those who aren't familiar with the term, a bold goal is essentially your declaration for how you are going to hold yourself accountable to the mission that you or your organization have set out to achieve. And so for us, this has been a key part of the work over the past year, and we're going to be making some additional announcements and information available about that process in the coming days and weeks. But for the time being, we wanted to certainly use this call as an opportunity to give folks a brief update. And so joining us today is Chanel Hampton, who's the Senior Strategy and Innovation Consultant for CBMA. And Chanel is going to give us an overview of what that bold goal process has been for CBMA and some other useful information. Chanel, are you there?
I am. Can you all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you great. The floor is all yours.
Wonderful. Thank you, Janet. Well, good afternoon, everyone, or morning, depending on where you are. As Janet mentioned, my name is Chanel Hampton, and I work closely with our strategy and innovation team with Robert Simmons, and so have just had the pleasure of working as part of the CBMA family, and I'm reporting to you all from Detroit. So I know we have some BFD folks on the phone. Hello. I have to give a shout-out to Detroit, of course, as always. And if there are other folks from Detroit that I missed on the line, I'm looking forward to continuing working with you all. So as Janet mentioned, we have been working on a bold goal, and particularly Robert sends his apologies. He's not able to join us today, but wanted to really hone in on our high school excellence framework within the bold goal. For those of you who are not too familiar with the bold goal, as Janet mentioned, there are really four pillars, if you will, or four elements to that bold goal roadmap or the overview. And so it begins with our human capital and obviously organizational needs. We are developing and have been charging forward with city and national strategy, high school excellence, and then you know, our particular role in really defining what our niche as CBMA is. Want to just give a quick plug. I know Janet mentioned there will be updates coming forth in the next upcoming days and in the upcoming weeks. We are really excited to be building out the team here in Detroit, and so we will have a couple additional folks joining. So on the human capital front, there's been a lot of planning, been a lot of conversations. We've been digging into the work, but we are so grateful and thrilled to be welcoming a couple more leaders and fighters in this work. So there will be updates coming there. Focusing particularly on the high school excellence framework, for those of you who aren't too familiar and also just providing some updates, there are four key elements to the high school excellence framework that we are working on. And for those of you in Detroit, you're very familiar with Frederick Douglass Academy. For those of you who are not too familiar with Douglass Academy or are in the area, it is an all-boys school. And so we have made a commitment within Detroit Public Schools Community District to partner intensively and intentionally with Douglass Academy. In the future, we hope to be able to scale this out, but within the High School Excellence Framework, Douglas is really where our commitment lies. And before I dig into the details and updates around our High School Excellence Framework, wanted to just share some quick reflections from a meeting that Robert and I had a couple days ago with the school improvement team and with a number of leaders throughout the district at Douglas High School. So in that meeting, for me, it came full circle. I am a Detroiter. Robert, you all will hear say this as well, so this work is very near and dear to our heart. And I've done a plethora of work in education, and particularly working with Detroit Public Schools. And so it came full circle for each of us. Robert was a teacher in DPS. I was the executive director of human capital and talent within DPS. And so to sit around that table and have people pouring in literally from a village from every single angle, from your paraprofessionals to your teachers to your principal and your assistant principal to curriculum instructors and folks who are known throughout the region and the state for this work. People are hungry to figure this out and to really get clear on what high school excellence means and to unapologetically charge forward to do this work for our young men at Frederick Douglass and ultimately throughout the entire city of Detroit. So it came full circle for us. It was really like a family reunion. I was sharing with the CBMA team on our call yesterday, our team call, just that feeling, just the palpable energy and gratitude in the space and the synergy that was just floating around between everyone. So we, with the High School Excellence Framework, are focusing on academic rigor and achievement. And here we are particularly focusing on the, you know, our young men passing Algebra 1 by 10th grade, passing English 1 by 10th grade, looking at, you know, being proficient on grade level reading, and also proficiency in state level exams. While we recognize that our young men are not just numbers and they are not just grades, academic rigor and achievement is very real in terms of setting them up for opportunity and college and career readiness and access. We are thrilled to be working with creating the CBMA Literacy Corps in partnership with Wayne State University. And so this is going to be some unprecedented work in the city that we're very excited about. There will be more updates coming out about that in the near future. But I need to shout out Wayne State University for working and partnering with us to bring about this Literacy Corps. We also are heavily focusing on opportunity access, retention support, school presence, and engagement. And so we are building out mentoring programs in what I essentially call a mentoring village, spaces in which our young men can engage in meaningful academic enrichment opportunities, or they can engage in meaningful exploration and exposure spaces. And we are thrilled and have to give a shout out to our BME folks. We're working with them on a Dream Kings mentoring program and also working with our MBK Detroit Innovators. There, again, for our Detroit folks on the phone, if you are familiar with the MBK Challenge that happened a few months ago in the city in partnership with Skillman, we have been continuing work with those Detroit innovators and are thrilled to bring them into the fold as it relates to our young men at Douglas and the High School Excellence Framework. The latter two components of high school excellence focus on academic and future planning as well as family and community engagement. And so for that academic and future planning piece, we are looking at everything from international programs. We're working with College Spring and College Board. We're also pulling in some of our MBK Detroit innovators there and really attempting, this is about exposure. How do we expose our young men to what we know they deserve so that they are on an even playing field and platform as their counterparts when they get out in the world? And so I know some of our prior speakers were speaking about this, right? Our young men are brilliant. We need to provide the access and the opportunity and the exposure because they deserve it. And with our family and community engagement, we're thrilled to be working with the Detroit Parent Network, building out an entire platform there around home visits, around community meetings and engagement, around participation in academic meetings from the village, if you will. And so these four areas, I could talk literally for hours, but wanted to provide very high-level updates around our partnerships, around the work that we've been doing. We also just had an exciting meeting, not only with Douglas, but with Wayne State University to get further along with our literacy corps. And that capital and human capital that I mentioned, we're thrilled to be bringing on a couple new team members so we can propel this work forward even more. So again, focusing on academic rigor and achievement, the opportunity access and retention support, academic and future planning, and family and community engagement. And I welcome you all as we are in the upcoming days and weeks pushing out information. Recognize I'm talking at you a little bit. There is like a very intensive plan around this. But if you have additional questions about the specifics, about, you know, if you're interested in partnering even more with us with this work, not only in Detroit, but nationally, I welcome you to please send an email to Robert Simmons and myself if you'd like. Robert's email is rsimmons at Blackmail Achievement, and mine is champton at Blackmail Achievement. We are more than willing to have conversations and been just grateful and blessed for the conversations that folks are engaging us in and that we're able to be a part of. The last thing that I will put out there around the bold goal and around our high school excellence framework is more of the strategy and innovation pieces. And for me, this is, in my opinion, what drastically distinguishes CBMA and the work that we're going to be doing in partnership with you all. We are going to be launching a CBMA Research Institute, as well as putting out some more partnership opportunities. And we're also going to be putting out some leadership institutes along with International Scholars Program. And so these are things that are very much in the planning stages right now, but we want to make sure that we are deeply digging into this work and having proof points and best practices to offer so that we can serve all of our promise of place cities and just our country and our people as a whole. The last thing that I will put out there, especially for our Detroit folks that are on the line, we are in the process of building out a Detroit advisory board. All of the updates that I'm sharing with you all have not been done in isolation. They've been these conversations and the products that are coming are a result of community partnerships and conversations and us listening clearly to what folks are saying they need and what is currently happening and where we want to go moving forward. If you are interested in learning more about the advisory board, please send me an email at champton, again, at champton at blackmailachievement.org. I would love to have a conversation with you. Again, we are really in the planning stages around this, but we're excited to get this advisory board launched. And so with that, I want to just pause because I recognize that I just talked at you all for a very long time. And I know you all cannot see me, but I will just wrap up by saying, you know, to be clear, I do not believe that, you know, the inequity we see within our community is a direct result of just education. I believe that, you know, education is a symptom of a far greater root cause issue. And for us, we are attempting to approach our community in the and where we need to go from a facet of just a multitude of approaches and strategies. And so with that being said, the High School Excellence Framework, which I've spoken a lot about, why I believe so deeply in this is because it is a holistic approach. It is not just focusing on standardized testing. It is not just focusing on proficiency in reading. To be clear, our young men need to be able to read. Our community needs to be literate. However, there are so many other facets and so many other ways that we need to engage our young men and our community. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but when we talk about things like an international scholars program and travel, being able to offer opportunities that we know our young men deserve, this is what we are unapologetically charging forward on. And so I just want to say I've been extremely just humbled and blessed and excited and energized by the conversations we're having and by the progress we are making. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions that you all have about our bold goal work, particularly about our high school excellence framework. And so I just appreciate you all taking a few minutes to listen to some updates that we have. So, Janet, I'll pass it back over to you. I'm not sure if you have any follow-up questions there, but just wanted to share some updates.
Thanks so much, Chanel. I think that was a really great high-level overview. And I just want to emphasize the point that you just made, Chanel, which is that obviously there is a lot to unpack as it pertains to the bold goal, right? I mean, this has been, for CBMA, a very rigorous process, and so by no means do we expect all of you to digest this right away. And so part of our strategy over the next days and weeks and months is going to be not just rolling out more information about the bold goal, but providing opportunities for our members to ask questions and to weigh in. So for the time being, I certainly encourage those of you on the call to take Chanel and Robert up on their offer, particularly if you're in Detroit and you're interested in figuring out how you can become involved in the advisory board. Certainly send emails to them. And then, again, we will definitely be providing opportunities moving forward, whether through phone calls, webinars, or other arenas to dive in even deeper into what this bold goal means, what high school excellence means within the larger black male achievement space, and certainly sort of create a feedback loop so that our members are up to speed and able to really understand what this next phase of our work is going to entail. But thank you again, Chanel. And so I think we have a few minutes left, and one thing that we really want to be intentional about moving forward, especially since a lot of times these calls can also be a lot to unpack. You know, we'll have a variety of speakers talking about a variety of different things. And so one thing that we want to be able to do moving forward, to the extent that it's possible, is create a space where those of you on the call can share any reflections, any updates. I think especially now when we've talked about the moment that we're in, the fact that we're on the eve of a new president being inaugurated, we certainly wanted to start the first call of the year off with an opportunity to open the line up to folks that may have some lasting thoughts. So I think we'll give about 10 minutes or more if necessary. So I'm going to open up the line by unmuting everybody's phones. All right, so you have been unmuted. I would just ask if folks could one by one, if you do want to speak, feel free. Please start by saying your name, where you're from, if you do represent an organization, what organization you represent, and please try to keep your comments brief, but we're opening up the floor.
Hello.
Hi there. Can you say your name, where you're from?
I'm Tori, and I'm from Southern California.
Welcome, Tori. Do you have any thoughts, reflections that you wanted to share?
Not immediately. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you on, Tori.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Furkan Khaldun. I'm at Black Family Development, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with the Detroit team. I actually worked with Dr. Simmons out in D.C. with the EMOC project, Empowering Males of Color, in my role when I was just working out in D.C. myself. So now I'm here in Detroit, and I'm looking forward to collaborating.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you. Anybody else want to take the floor? No pressure. You know, we wanted to create the opportunity. There's certainly no pressure to speak, but we wanted folks to know that you all have our ear if need be.
Yes. Hello. This is Troy Lewis, and I'm a founder and CEO of Education Services of Greater Washington. Oh, I'm sorry. Hello?
We can hear you fine. Anybody else, if you could self-mute your phone, I would have opened up all the line, but if you could
guys,
to minimize any interference, that would be
guys,
appreciated. Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry to say that. I'm on a conference call. Sorry. Sorry. But,
thank you for that.
They just unmuted me.
I'm going to go ahead. My name is Troy Lewis. I'm founder and CEO of Education Services of Greater Washington, providing education for change here in Washington, D.C. As I get ready to wake up tomorrow, honestly, I'm not sure how to receive it all. It is very heavy. But I wanted to just share that it is really heartwarming to hear your voices, get your insight, your input, and to know that I'm not alone in this work. What I'm doing right now is working with the Department of Corrections and providing literacy and career readiness for inmates in D.C. jail and their youth delinquents, and also working with some high schools and other organizations to work with minority males there. And it's just really empowering to know that that this is ground-level work. It is not easy, but we're in it together, and I really appreciate all the effort that CBMA is doing and your affiliates. And I've, I'm very excited about international scholars piece, because I am very, very big on studying abroad and providing exposure to our young males, because it changes lives. So, again, I want to say thank you, and I look forward to the next calls.
Thank you, Troy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Yeah. Can you say your name, where you're from? Can you hear us?
Well, good afternoon. My name is Jeremiah White. Am I heard okay?
Yeah, we can hear you quite clearly.
Okay. I just want to apologize because I missed the early half of this dialogue, and so I came in kind of towards the tail end. But I just wanted to know, is there any literature that will be sent out following or accompanying this call?
Well, we'll certainly be making the recording of the call available. So if you weren't able to see the first part of it, we'll definitely make sure that you get that recording. Absolutely. We make sure that you're able to hear the entire conversation.
Okay, please. That will help so much.
If you could do me a favor and the same email address, the RSVP@blackmaleachievement.org, if you could send a quick email to that so I can capture your address, and I'll personally make sure that you get the recording.
Thank you.
All right, so we have time for maybe a couple of more people, if anybody else just wants to use this time to share any lasting thoughts or reflections.
This is Greg Hodge out in Oakland with the Brotherhood of Elders Network and CBMA generally, and have done work with you all in the past. And I wasn't able to get on the first part of the call, but wanted to just weigh in just for a moment and encourage everybody that, yeah, the sun will still rise tomorrow. The stars will still be out tomorrow night. And so the fact that someone who is not our choice got elected president is not going to stop the world from turning. It's going to embolden us, I think, to do better and more intensive work in the cities where we are. And the last thing I should just remind people, and maybe it was said in the call already, this is not the first time. And this is not the first time as African Americans you had to face this type of thing. And we know our history well enough. Post-Reconstruction, the same sorts of things were happening. And if you study that history a bit, you'll sort of see how we got through it. And much of it was because we pulled ourselves together, we made services more intensely, and our advocacy, we doubled down on our advocacy as well as our self-determination for ourselves. So I just want to hope that impact and talk to young people, help them understand the history. Don't let them think that this is something that's that unique in American history, but it's part of the long upward move toward freedom, justice, and equity in our community. So, and thanks to everybody for doing the work that you're doing wherever you are. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg, for joining and, you know, for also, you know, giving those words of encouragement. I think at this point, we're welcoming a lot of that, so we appreciate you. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, going once, going twice. Do we have any other takers before we wrap up this month's call?
Yeah, this is Ted Marsh, and I'm in Richmond, California.
Welcome.
And I wanted to say thank you, Greg Hodge, for coming on the call, my brother. I'm a founder and facilitator for the Gathering of Black Men Conversation, which is a black male support group here in the East Bay area. And the what I found in many of the conversations, particularly around mentoring and coaching, is that we need a lot more black male support groups so that we can deal with the issues that we face on a day-to-day basis. Not in terms of how do we do things better, but how do we actually face the issues that black males face on a continuous basis and address those from a holistic standpoint, as was spoken earlier.
Thank you. Wonderful. Very true. Thank you. Anyone else? Well, all right. Well, if there's nobody else that wants to take the floor, once again, I want to thank everybody for joining, Sean, for opening us up with some poignant reflections, Pastor Michael McBride and FM Supreme for their reflections on MLK Now and how we can keep up hope in this moment, to Stephen Powell from National Cares Mentoring Movement talking about how we can use mentorship as a way to continue creating community and togetherness and you know, taking on the challenges and opportunities that are before us, to Chanel Hampton for giving a great update, a high-level overview of our BOGO process, which we'll be rolling more information out on, and then to all of you, whether you spoke or didn't speak, just know that you're appreciated, and, you know, the work continues. So as I said, the recording for this call will be made available. Jeremiah, I just got your email, so I'll make sure that I send it to you as well. And until next time, everybody, stay positive, stay hopeful, and stay together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.